So Adam basically just told all of you that he does nothing in the church anymore. So that's great. Talk about pressure to start off. I've got to preach in front of three big spiritual leaders in my lives and pastors that I grew up around as Andrew, Adam, and Pastor Kelso. So my goal in life is to bring as many people to the kingdom of heaven as those successful men have. So today we're going to get a little cliche. Is that all right, church? Is it okay to get cliche? Okay. You probably heard a message on this topic numerous times, and you probably took it way too literally, and that's fine. My message today is on light, one of the biggest topics that the Lord preaches about in the Bible. But mine is more so in tie with my new job. I just got hired as an electrician's apprentice, so I should know a lot about conduction, insulation, and light. So with that, right, should, yeah, lives are actually in my hands, literally. So with that being said, the Lord came to me a month ago and said, I really want you to preach this word, and I'm going to develop it with you for the next month because you're terrible at doing things on the fly. So with that being said, the title for today's message is, Are You Being a Good Insulator and a Good Conductor for the Energy of God's Kingdom? Are you shining God's light for people in this world? Yes, that's the title. Yeah, so it'll make sense as the message goes on what those are. So for anybody that understands how electricity works, being an insulator means that you can trap energy or contain it. It basically is within you. You're holding it, all right? It's very hard to ground or get away from. Being a conductor means that you're surging energy or that you're sending it to other places. You're basically giving more connections, energy. So that's the difference between the two of them. The Lord calls us to be both, actually. You can't be a good conductor or a good insulator. You have to be both. With that being said, the Lord talks very much about being the lamp for our feet and guiding our path and where we're supposed to go. And wherever darkness is, it cannot hide from the light. It always overpowers it. One thing that was very funny to me that was shown to me by the Lord is that He doesn't want you to think that He's that crazy friend when you guys go out as teenagers and takes you out into the cornfield in the middle of the night with a flashlight. And then when you get there, He's promising you there's something cool in there. And then He flips off the flashlight and runs out and bolts on you. Yeah, just like the song that we sang this morning about Him not forsaking us. That's what it is. The Lord's always going to keep that light on. He's always going to guide your path and your direction to where you're going. So with that, let's talk about being a good insulator this morning, because I think that's a little more important of a first step than being a conductor for God's kingdom. So when you're here in church and, you know, you're preaching, you're praising the Lord, and you're taking in the sermon today, you're being an insulator. You're basically holding on to all the energy you're getting. You're feeling very good about the positive vibes in the church, but you don't really know the right way to express it or take it out the doors with you. It kind of just stays here. It stays lukewarm in your body. The Lord preaches very heavily against that feeling. He wants it to be sent out to other people and shared with others. So that's really what it comes down to, is the things that you feel on an individual level and the way that you tap into the Holy Spirit on an individual level makes you a good insulator for the kingdom of heaven. Being a good conductor means you take that spiritual energy and that feeling that the Holy Spirit impacts your heart with, and you send it to others. One thing that I was always taught growing up in the church is, are you, you know, can people see a difference in you? Pastor Adam always used to preach on that. Can people see Christ's light shining through you? Are you walking in the Lord and showing them a difference in who you are? Or are there people that can't even identify you as a Christian? And that really terrified me growing up. I lived in the shadow of a big family and a lot of brothers that, you know, I had to live up to a specific reputation. And a lot of them were going down a road that didn't show a lot of light. And I had a, you know, fork in my road that said, I can either do the same thing as them, or I can, you know, stay bound to the church, stay, you know, devoted to Pastor Adam, and hopefully have the opportunity to do something like this down the road. So I chose, obviously, the path that I'm here today. But with that, I always wanted to focus on being a positive light in God's kingdom and letting people see a difference in who I am. I didn't want anyone to mistake me for something I was not, and I always wanted to be known as a follower of Christ. So with that, being a good conductor is more of knowing your word. As Ephesians 6:11-18 says, knowing your sword, That Bible that you have in your hands, that phone app that you have for Bible app, it's always going to be your sword. It's what you're going to battle the enemy with. And what the enemy tries to challenge you or tempt you against is going to come out of that sword. You're going to have that to combat whatever gets thrown at you. So always be ready in that instance. Always be sharp. But also witnessing to people, changing hearts for Christ's kingdom. I remember talking about being an anchor or barrier and how the people that we surround ourselves with in our everyday lives that we see the most are some of the people that really need to be anchored into Christ, and that we're missing the golden opportunity to really capture their hearts for the Lord in that moment. He's giving us that opportunity, and we're remaining as insulators. We're not really sharing the energy the Lord's giving us. With that being said, I actually had a little symbolic reference here. Adam was like, you're dismantling my church and destroying property. No, I'm going to take this lamp, all right, and plug it in real quick. This might take a minute. Hold on. All right. So I purposefully took the shade off this lamp. So everyone in this room can see this light, right? Typically, a light bulb that shines without a lamp shade has a 360 coverage, okay? Expressed by lumens, whatever. It's just how bright a light bulb can shine. So with that, this is you being a good insulator and conductor. You're shining your light. People can obviously see the evidence that you have something worth showing to others. They can see you're lighting up paths for them, everything in that nature. Now, the lamp shade, or the way that hinders our light from being shined to others. Take this trash bag, for example, all right? It's dark. So this trash bag represents a lot of different entities that get summed up into one word, which is sin. So it's your trash in your life. It's a dispute against a spouse when you think you're right and she's not. Right, the love for money and not knowing how to give it back to Christ's kingdom. All these different iniquities that hold us down get turned into this bag, which eventually turns out the light. Now, underneath that bag, there's still a light shining. It's still being insulated. It's holding on to its properties, but it's not, no one else can see it. No one can see the light shining through the bag. And that's what happens when we let sin consume our life, is that it takes over that light. And we're not being the conductors that Christ's kingdom allows us to be. And that's a very, very scary place to be, not feeling a certain guilt or discernment about the sins you commit and everything. It's a very dark place to be, and one that I hope to stay away from. But that's something that the Lord wanted to show me in that representation. And the nice thing is that we try to complicate it too much being Christians. We try to overthink our status in life and live by the rule book. Like Pastor Adam talked about a couple Sundays ago, how the Catholic Church had that whole list of things that you had to do and what you couldn't do. And that's very complicated. I think if we had to live by a rule book, we'd be very, very lost. So with that, the way I see it is that instead of complicating it, you know, Thomas Edison found 10,000 ways how not to make a light bulb. He didn't fail. He just found 10,000 ways not to do it. Just like we don't really follow the rules in a non-denominational church. Why I'm wearing my Ohio State sweater and Adam's wearing his cool brown shoes. We don't really follow the rules set by hierarchies. So he found 10,000 ways not to create a light bulb. He only needed one way to make it work. And the way that I see our witness working, the way I see our message reaching people as good conductors for the kingdom of heaven, is by the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. That is the way to make it work. That is the ultimate light bulb that will never have a shade over it. That is the ultimate conductor that puts the power on everything. He's the main terminal for that city, that structure. So knowing the way, knowing the Lord goes back to the Bible, knowing the sword. How are you going to let people understand that person? If your witness was simply just telling people the words in red and really letting them read the Luke, the Matthew, the John, the apostles, disciples, all those messages, that's really all they need. The Bible in whole is important, and you should know it and try to get it word for word, but if someone's new or someone's lost, that's where they should be, because you can't mess that up. You can't fake that. If you understand those words and they can read it clearly as you can, that's the way to do it. That's the ultimate light that's going to shine for them. So with that being said, church, I mean, my biggest challenge today, especially for myself, every time I get up here too, every time the Lord gives me a word, it's really me just talking to myself, kind of like a crazy person. You guys can listen and you guys can take it, but he's really saying, Gabe, this is you. This is what you need to work on. And one thing I admire about being a Christian is taking responsibility for my own actions. Even when I want to be in a white robe and clean and perfect, I know that, you know, I've got a trash bag over my lamp. So with that being said, my biggest challenge today is when we leave here, we're all amazing insulators. We're all amazing at holding on to the scriptures and the praise and worship songs and the way the Holy Spirit impacts our hearts and makes us feel. But what are we going to do this week? What are we going to do different as a congregation to be conductors? So where next week we have another 10 people in the rows to listen to Pastor Adam or Pastor Andrew, or we have another 20 people, or it can be whatever it is, whatever growth we want. We could tithe them off, or we could, you know, expand in many different avenues, just letting someone new that we haven't talked to in church, let them know we care. What are we going to do this week to really challenge ourselves and be better and really turn the lights on or turn on the power for God's kingdom? And that's my biggest fear, especially for myself, is that before we leave the church, are we going to leave it here? Are we going to take it with us? Every prayer that Pastor Adam lets me close, and I always say, Lord, let us take it with us out the doors today. Let whatever happens here not stay here. All right. It's a great vehicle. It's a great place to have it in, but it's got to be shared with other people. I mean, just in our small community in Pickerington, there's so many people living in darkness, or have lost, you know, the way that they're walking. I think about a kerosene lamp in an example that, you know, the wick that is still doused in kerosene, it can still have a little flicker of flame on it. I'm not saying they're completely burned out, but it'd be better to turn it on more and let them shine brighter. So with that being said, it's just so small in our community that there's so many people still yearning for the word of God and the witness to really change their hearts over. And if we leave it here, we're not only not impacting Pickerington and Reynoldsburg and Canal Winchester, it goes as far as the world. One of Catherine and I's biggest visions, we started our own little business on the side. We're hoping that in years to come that it yields such a harvest that we can tithe and offer more to a point where we're sending missions to the world, that people know who the family church is, that Pastor Adam and Daniel never have to worry about the future of this church again and what message it's really bringing to the others around the world. That's our biggest dream or aspiration in doing what we're doing. And I feel like that's a vehicle the Lord's letting us use to be, you know, positive energy in his kingdom. I think that by far, you know, wealth is one of the best ways to spread witness if it's done in the vehicles of people. And you can instow them with that power and ability to go out and change the world. Because you guys are all here. You guys are all evidence that you've already changed for the better. If you weren't, you'd just be at home by now, download Sunday Ticket or whatever. So the fact that you're here, the message is great that you guys are receiving, and it's great that you can take it with you, but it only goes so far, and it lacks luster if it just stays here, is my point. So that would be my challenge to you today, church. Just take that out. I did have one more scripture on here that I wanted to share before closing. Pastor Adam, is it okay if I just keep going, or do you want, I mean, I don't know, you know? I talk, man. I don't know. Yeah, this one talks about something that I think a lot of us have to overcome for sure, in the way that we fear talking to people about the Lord. I think it's great that, you know, we can really shine God's light out to other people, but it's very difficult for some of us to do and muscle the courage to do it. The way that it was a scream to me was in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And I love that scripture because when you're standing in the darkness, like when you first get home and you're trying to like reach around the drywall to find a light, you know, switch, because your wife likes to save on the energy bill. I don't know, whatever. But it's really difficult when you're tripping over boots and shoes and you're trying to find the light fixture. And you start to get a little bit afraid because you don't know what's going on anymore. Or, you know, like watching a scary movie in the middle of the night. It's like not a lot of light and salvation in those films. So, you know, you start to get a little freaked out. But I love that scripture because it's like, if the Lord is on my side and he's my light and he's my salvation and he's the stronghold for everything I do, I can't really fear anything or fear talking about him or being ashamed of talking about him. If I let the Lord speak and I let the Lord do what he's going to do, like I am this morning, I can't mess it up. And that's really what I want to encourage you with this morning, church, is challenge yourselves this week to go out and make a positive impact in at least one or two lives. I know after the last message I gave, I witnessed to about five different people, and I think every single one of them got hit with something that the Lord wanted them to know that day. Now, whether or not they had the choice to act on it is totally up to them. They still have the choice to deny it or, you know, show up. But I know that the Lord wanted to use me as that person to really impact their lives in that moment. And that'd be my challenge to you today, church, is just to let people see the difference in you, see the light that's shining through you, and how are you going to positively impact more lives for Christ's kingdom this week. That being said, I do want to close in prayer. That's okay. All right, cool. So, Father God, I just want to thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning and this fall weather that's surging on. Time to break out the plaid flannels and the sweaters and the jeans. Men's wardrobes just get better in the fall. So, very excited about that. Very excited for the congregation that you have gifted Pastor Adam and all of us with today, that these wonderful people will just go out and make an impact for your kingdom this week, Lord, and really shine your light in a very dark and weary place. And Lord, I just pray that these words that have fallen on our ears today would be taken further than we could possibly imagine, Lord, and that we would just make a large difference in our community and even further than that and broaden our horizons. And it's in Jesus' name that I just thank you for the amazing things that you are doing, Lord, and that you are on the move in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gabe. Give it up for my man, Gabe. One of the things I like is that God gives him very straightforward illustrations. And that's how Jesus taught. And that's I mean that as the highest compliment. I mentioned that funeral tomorrow. What's so hard is when it's a funeral for a really, really great person. And I am pretty sure that he never made a decision to give his heart to Jesus. And so you have this atmosphere of celebrating a life, but unfortunately missed the greatest moment. And as a preacher in those situations, it's very challenging, because I believe that I'm not supposed to preach anybody into heaven in that situation, and so I won't. They won't hear me referencing their dad, their husband being in heaven. I'm not sure that he's there. I don't think he is. But I also can't be so callous and cruel to make it very clear where I think he might be. Do you see the tact I got to use there? If you know me, tact is not at the strongest of my giftings. And this is one area where I usually know how to have some. But in all seriousness, this man was a good friend to many people. And so I'm going to teach from John 15, where it says, I am the vine. And what I love about what Gabe shared today, that conductor has to connect to something. So if we only have it, if we only have Jesus inside of us, which is wonderful, it's so important, that's going to put you in heaven. But my gosh, I want other people to be there with me, right? And so that means I've got to connect to other people. And that conductor, if I get this right, the quality of that signal, the quality of that connection is going to determine whether Jesus can cross over to that other person. And Gabe's right, they still have the decision to make. I can't do that for them. But here's this man that we're going to bury tomorrow that had these wonderful connections with people. Wonderful relationships. Some people don't know how to have them. They're absolutely relationally dysfunctional. We know those kind of people too. And it's just a struggle for them to relate to everybody. So you have to have both. You have to have the stuff, and you have to have the relationship. And so I love that simple picture today of being an insulator. You've got to have Jesus. You've got to have it. But then at the same time, where's it going? And if it's not connecting out to somebody else, you're just being a selfish jerk. No, I'm just kidding. But can we stand as closing in song tonight and this morning? And I just appreciate this word. I appreciate the beauty of it. And the other thing that stuck out to me is when he said that light bulb's 360 degrees. And I can tell you right now that I've got dark spots around me, or dimmer spots. Mom always said has a dim bulb, right? Not the sharpest crayon in the box. But seriously, think about your life. In some areas, you might be really strong in your faith, really strong and be able to present it, but other ways you're not. And I think there's a challenge there for even those of us that know Jesus, know how to share him well in certain instances, that we've got a 360-degree Jesus in us, right? And there's weak spots in each of us. I've got them. Believe me. Ask my wife. So we've got something to chase, right? Father God, I thank you for your power. God, I thank you for this amazing thing we get to carry inside of us that changes us from the inside out. But God, I thank you for this word that you've given to Gabe this morning that challenges us on that conducting part as well as the insulating part. God, we've got to be able to hold you in our hearts. And if there's sin in the way, God, I pray that you would just challenge and show it. Make us aware of it, and we just speak to it in Jesus' name. We rebuke it, and we will repent of it. As the Holy Spirit reveals sin that's keeping you from conducting the power and love of Jesus, you need to repent of it and walk through it. Let the light shine brighter, but then at the same time, pray for those opportunities to connect to other people so that it can conduct over to another life. That's what we were designed to do. And so, God, I thank you that you want to use us and not just sit us on a shelf. And, God, I thank you for a world out there that needs to know you and that you've chosen us to be your messengers. Help us, Lord.